All right, Jabo, say good morning. Today's daf is daf tes. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Hopefully you did your homework that I posted on the, on the WhatsApp. So Jabo, say we're picking up today from Tanu Rabbanan, which is on Ches Amud Beis 8b, 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. Just recorded the piece from the Gemara till that. Tanu Rabbanan. So Jabo, say 8b, Tanu Rabbanan. Ger mu'ukav lechal b'kachim, ad she'aviu kino. We'll say a ger, remember again, the Mishnah spoke about the idea that a ger is mechusar kapara. Well, it makes it sound like a ger is mechusar kapara. That halacha lemaisa, or I should say, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said that a ger is mechusar kapara, and he cannot go ahead and eat from kachim until he brings karbanos. So it says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan, ger mu'ukav lechal b'kachim ad she'aviu kino. A ger is not permitted to partake of sacrificial items until he brings his bird pair. Havi prayed the achos shachris ochal b'kachim la'erev. If he brings even just one of the birds in the morning, he's able to eat of the kachim that night. Kol akinim shebatora echad chatos ve'echad ola. We'll say in general, whenever you're bringing a bird pair, one of them is a chatos, one of them is an ola. Except kan shtehen olos. In the case of a ger, both are of an ola persuasion. Ultimately, again, if the ger decides to bring his obligation not from birds but from behemoths, he's yotze. That is okay. Olo shlamim yotze. If he decides to bring it as an ola and shlamim, he's yotze. Mincho shlamim lo yotze. But again, if he decides to bring one of them as a mincho, one of them as a shlamim, he is not yotze. Lo amru kan ela lahakel. Because again, jumping back for just a moment, why is it that if he brings a behemoth, he's yotze? Because when the halacha says he has to bring a bird, that's only to make it a bit easier on him, right? To be makel. But ultimately, if he wants to bring an animal, that is up to him. Maishna mincho shlamim delo yotze. Why is it that if a ger brought one of the karbanos as a mincha, that it's not good? Tichsev kasher tasu kenyi ase. Because the pasuk says, as you did, so shall he do, or so shall it be done. So the Gemara said, it's v'chi yagor itchem ger, o asher v'sochem doroseichem, v'asa ishi reach nichoach l'ashem, kasher tasu, ken ye asa. So remember again, as we're going to see, much of the laws of Gerus, many of the laws of Gerus, are learned out from Klal Yisrael's behavior at Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, we underwent a gerus. So whatever we did at Har Sinai, that's ultimately, again, what the ger does. Just like we went ahead, ma'atam olo shlamim, just like we brought olo and shlamim at Har Sinai, av ger olo shlamim. So to a ger, also brings an olo and shlamim as his karbanos of gerus. I im kein, chavosa achos mina behema, lo tiski alei begavei, da'aksiv kasher ti'asu, so if that's the case, at the end of the day, if he brings one of the chovos from behemoth, should not be good. After all, the pasuk equates his karbanos to our karbanos. Amra papa, yeshlomar li of israbi lo ola behemoth lo kol shekin. So we'll say to which Rapapa says, listen, if the Torah gives him the license to bring an oaf is always considered to be the lowest form of karban. So we'll say, obviously, you can always go up from there. So if you are permitted to bring an oaf, certainly you are permitted to go ahead and bring an olas peima. Ihachi afilu mincha nami. If that's the case, then why can't the ger bring a mincha also? Mi'et kra, chayin. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk gives a miut word, chayin. So because of that word, because of the chayin, the exclusionary word, ultimately, again, that limits his karbanic offering, and we understand it to exclude a mincha. The ov hecha is rabbi. From where do we know that he can bring a bird? The Tanu Rabbanan kasher te'asu ken ye'ase ma'atem olo shlamim afu olo shlam shne'emar kachem kager minayim rabos asav. So we'll say, how do I know? So again, I understand that the Torah is equating the karbanos of a ger with the karbanos that we brought at Har Sinai. How do I know that a ger is permitted to go ahead and bring an ov? Tabad lomar. We'll say, what is the type of carbon? Actually, in fact, the only type of carbon that is kula l'Hashem. We'll say, this is actually an interesting fact, right? Remember again, even when you have an ola, so we think about an ola as a carbon that is totally consumed on the Mizbeach, Not totally true. If the flesh is consumed on Mizeach, but for example, the hide is given to the Kohanim. So what's the only carbon ultimately, again, that is totally consumed on the Mizbeach? Totally consumed? Olas ha'of. So the fact that the Torah uses the Lashon of Ola Reach Nichoach Lashem, Isha Reach Nichoach Lashem, referring to a carbon that is totally consumed on the Mizbeach, from here you see that a ger is permitted to bring olas ha'uf. Top of test. Yochon shanimar ba'afilu mincha. I might have thought that therefore the ger could also bring a karba mincha. Talmud lomar chein. Therefore, I said the Torah uses the word chein, which the Gemara understands to be a mute, to be a limiting phrase, that although the ger could bring different types of karbanos, he may not bring a mincha. Tanya idoch. Va'ase ishe reach nichoach la'ashem. Pasuk says he shall bring an ishe, literally a fire offering, pleasing aroma to Hashem. Shamea ani kol sha'ola li'ishim afilu mincha. So I will say, I would have thought from that pasuk that the ger could bring what? Anything that is a fire offering. Well, even a mincha is a fire offering. Talmud lomar, kasher ta'asu, kein ye'osa. Therefore the pasuk says, as is done, so shall be done. Ma'atem minei damim, avheim minei damim. Just like ultimately what? Just like, again, you brought a carbon that had a blood application on the Mizbeach, so to the ger must bring a carbon that has a blood application on the Mizbeach. Meaning, a mincha, of course, does not. Ima'atem olo shlam ma'afheim olo shlamim. Tamulomar kachem kager ye lachem. Lachem ikshisiv v'lo ledavar acher lekarbonez, lekarbonosechem. So we'll say, so again, equating the nature of the carbonos that the ger brings, ultimately, again, to the types of carbonos that were brought at Har Sinai. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi said, kachem, kachem ka'avosechem. Ma'avosechem. So Rabbi extends the comparison. Ma'avosechem lo nichnesu lebris ela b'mila utvila v'artzas dam. Avheim lo yikansu lebris ela b'mila utvila v'artzas dam. Rabbi says, it's actually pretty incredible. So the Gemara says, just like we entered into our covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our national conversion was affected through three things. Bris mila, tvila, immersion in the mikvah, and hartzas dam. Hartzas dam means blood applications of karbanos. So too, geirim could only enter into Klal Yisrael if they have what? Mila, tevila, and hartzas damim. So let's analyze this. Lahavi prayed the achas yafshar shalom tzidim mechala Torah kula. Furthermore, the Gemara says, to bring one bird as an offering, we're going to come back to this piece in just a moment, to bring one bird as an offering, a bosa we never heard of before. Right? Meaning, whenever you bring an offering, bird offerings are always pairs. We never are bringing one bird. Velo, is that true? We take out the next line there. Velo, v'atanya v'hikrivo. Matam olomar l'fishnem arbitorim v'hikriv. Shomea ani ha'omer hare alai ola sa'of lo yifchos mishnei predin. I might have thought that if a person says, I hereby take upon myself an obligation to bring ola sa'of, that you can't bring less than two birds. Tam olomar v'hikrivo. Therefore the pasuk says, you shall offer it singular, which tells me that what? I can go ahead and offer even one bird. Afilu prey da achos, to which the Gemara says, you're right. You could offer one bird in the context of a voluntary offering. However, chova mihalo ashkichon. It will say, by an obligatory offering, we never find that one bird suffices. By an obligatory offering, it's always two birds. Ay ba'ika yoledes, demasya ben yona, o tor lechatos. Ay, but there is yoledes. Although she has to bring two karbanos, only has to bring one bird, a benyona or a trazachatos, mishum diika keves bahada. Ultimately, again, that's different. Why? Because she's bringing a second carbon of an animal. So the idea is that even though she's not bringing two birds, the bird offering is accompanied by another offering. Okay, now the Gemara goes back for just a moment to discuss the interesting statement we made before. Omar, ma avosechem lo nichnesu lebris ela. Supposed to listen to this. Remember, again, we saw before that our ancestors converted. Also, we don't normally think about this, but Har Sinai was a geirus. That geirus, that conversion, was affected through three things. Mila, bris mila, right? Tvila, immersion, and hartzas damim, blood applications of karbanos. So the Gemara says, and therefore again the Gemara posits that just as that was our conversion, so too again when we take Geirim today, they must undergo that same process. Bishlam amila tichsev kimulim ha'ayu kala ha'yotzim inay mehacha ve'evor alayich ve'erech misposeses b'damayich ve'omar lach b'damayich. So we'll say, so okay, so I have a pasuk that teaches, or psukim, that teaches that Klal Yisrael had bris milah at Har Sinai. However, Hartzaz damim, blood applications, where do I know that from? V'chsiv v'yishtach asnarei b'nei Yisrael. Ela tevila minala. We'll say, how do I know that they had immersion? Right, that there was immersion in the mikvah. V'chsiv v'yikach Moshe chatzi adam, v'yizrok al ha'am. Well, this is actually quite amazing. Because I learned, we said pasuk says that Moshe took the blood and he sprinkled it upon the people. Now, lashon over here is Zriga, but we know again that's also called Hazah. Ve'in Hazah below Tevila. Wherever you find the concept of sprinkling on a person is always preceded by what? Or is always accompanied by what? By Tevila. Right, the Bible said we find this ultimately again by Para Aduma. Wherever there is a Zrika or a Hazah, there is always an accompanying Tevila. So if Moshe Rabbeinu sprinkled the blood on Klal Yisrael, that means that there was Tevila as well. So we'll say, this is actually quite an incredible Gemara, because the truth is, from the Pesukim, you would not have gleaned this concept, nor would you have thought to make the connection between Maimat Har Sinai and contemporary Geirus. What the Gemara is doing is something absolutely amazing. We had at Har Sinai, Tevila, Mila Hartzaz Damim. When someone converts again, technically to this very day, they should require Mila, Tevila, Hartzaz Damim. Alameata. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, Ha'idna Deleka Karban Lona Kabel Geirim. So I'll say, see, the Gemara says again, so if that's the case, then contemporarily we should not be permitted to accept converts. Why? Why not? Because a fundamental part of the conversion process cannot be carried through. There's no blood application, there's no karbanos. You could do, of course, mila, you could do tevila, but without the karban, there's no geirus. To which the Gemara says, Amrav Acha Bar Yaakov, we have a pasuk, v'chi yagor itchem ger asher b'sochachem. So we'll say, so the pasuk says that if the ger lives among you, b'sochachem. Now we'll say, interestingly enough, the word that the Torah is actually coming to focus on is v'chiyagor itchem ger o asher b'sochachem l'doroseichem. That's the word that the Gemara is really focusing on. For all generations. And Rashi points out over here, v'chiyagor itchem ger l'doroseichem afagav d'leka mikdash. So we'll say, so the Torah introduces the concept of the convert for all future generations, which tells you that what? Even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, conversion is possible. So both say, so interestingly enough, so now I know that a person could convert even though they can't bring the carbon. The Shaila is, so what do they do about carbonic liability? So watch this. Tan Rabbanan, Ger Bizman Hazeh, Tzarach Sheyifrosh Rova Likino. So both say, so the Braisa says, the truth is when a person converts, they should separate out the quarter shekel for their carbon. So in other words, even though a ger can't bring their carbon, what should they do? Separate out carbon money. Right? Separate out, in other words, just designate the money that you're going to use for your carbon for ger as the Mashiach comes. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shimon, Kvar nimna lav Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, ubatla mipnei atakala. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai already weighed in on this, and he was mevatel this practice. Why? Ultimately, again, mipnei takala. Rashi says, Shlo Yohanan men, Rabbi say, we know in general, again, we don't like having sanctified money hanging around, because it's only a matter of time until what? Right? Until one day you're running short of cash and you borrow it. Of course, again, I'm borrowing it. I'm not chasron taking it. I'm just borrowing it. And then again, of course, I forget to go ahead and replace it. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, no, we'll trust you. You're going to remember that you converted when Mashiach comes. Ultimately, again, you'll know that you have to bring your carbon. So the Gemara says, Amrav Idi Bar Gershom, Amrav Adabar Abba, Halach Rav Shimon, the Halach of Az Rav Shimon, Vika Demas Nili Allah, Da Tan Rabbanon. Suppose say the Halach of Az Rav Shimon, which namely again, Rabbi means that, again, first of all, two important points, Rabbi say. Number three important points. What do you need in order to convert? Mila, Tevila, carbon. Right? What do we do today? Even though there's no carbon, you could still convert drasha av l'doro seichem. They used to separate out and put aside money for the carbon of their geirus. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, don't do it. Not a good idea. Mipnei hatakala. Good. Am Rav Idi bar Av Magersha, Am Rav Adi bar Ava, Halacha Kerb Shimon. V'ikud demasni la'al adam. They both say, some understand that the statement of Rav Idi bar Gershom, that the halacha is like Rav Shimon, is actually not going on this halacha by Gerus, but it's going on a different halacha. But it's another interesting halacha. Tan Rabbanan, Ger Toshav, Mutar lasos melacha l'shabbos liatzmo ki yisab b'chalo shamoi. So we'll say a ger toshav. Who is a ger toshav? Rashi says shekibel alav shlo la'avot avodas kochavim. So we'll say ultimately a ger toshav is not a convert the way we think about a convert. He's a Gentile, right? He's not Jewish, but he has accepted upon himself not to worship idolatry. Or stated a little bit differently, he's what we call a Noahide, right? He accepts upon himself Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, right? A righteous Gentile. I was like, you know, one of the beautiful things about Yiddishkeit is that we are not a proselytizing religion, right? Because we don't believe that the only pathway to God is through us. It's one of the most incredibly beautiful things about Yiddishkeit, right? That again, you don't have to be one of us in order to find the relationship with God, in order to have a licht to Gan Eden. You could be a righteous Gentile and a Kodesh Baruch who loves you very much. I will say, you know what it is? If you think about it, it's such a beautiful thing. Insecure people need to make everyone else believe like them. You see this all the time. You see this in the world of politics. You see this in greater society. Secure people are okay with different opinions. You can believe like you believe, and it's okay. It's, you know, gay isn't gay. That's la haraba. You don't have to believe like me. Insecure people need everyone else to agree with them and to believe like them. So one of the beautiful things is in Yiddishkeit, I don't need anybody to be Jewish. That you could find your way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without my Torah, without my mitzvos. Come on, you could just be. So that's a ger toshav. So I'm also listening to this. Actually, so a ger toshav, the Brisa says, Mutar lasos melacha v'shabbos. He is permitted to do melacha on Shabbos. Like what? Like a Jew on Chol HaMoed. I will say this is fast. It wasn't like a Jew on Chol HaMoed. So what do you have to do on Chol HaMoed? So Chol HaMoed, you know, is a little bit of a forgotten halacha, right? But on Chol HaMoed, what can you do? You davar avid, right? In other words, you can't just do any malacha. You could do things that if you don't do it, it's gonna cause you a loss. Things obviously that are necessary for just the yom tiv itself. So that's the first opinion. So Rabbi Akiva Omer ki yisab b'yom tiv. Rabbi Akiva says no, that a ger toshav on Shabbos is like a Jew on yom tiv. What does that mean? Right? Ochel nefesh. Ochel nefesh. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ger toshav osa b'shabbos liatzmo ki yisab b'chol. Rabbi Yossi says that ger toshav can do what he wants for himself on Shabbos, just like a Jew could do during the week. Which Rabbi Yossi seems to say, that he's supposed to say, what's interesting, it's fascinating. According to the first two opinions, a ger toshav has what? Has what? Like a shtickle Shabbos, right? He has like a little bit of a Shabbos. Quite fascinating, right? Rabbi Yossi, it's not a sugya. What's even more fascinating is there's a halacha that a Gentile dafka can't keep Shabbos. So it's interesting that the ger toshav himself has some element of Shabbos. Third opinion, no, his Shabbos is just like the weekday of a Jew. Rabbi Shimon Omer, echad ger toshav, ve'echad ovid kochavim, eved ve'amo. Even a non-Jewish servant or a non-Jewish maidservant. Hatoshavim osim malacha b'shabbos liatzman ki yisal b'chol. Rabbi Shimon says, no non-Jew has any element of Shabbos, right? Even a ger toshav and eved kenani, again, they don't have Shabbos. They don't have Shabbos, right? Shabbos is a thing for Jews. Ultimately, again, if you are not Jewish, you have no concept of Shabbos. Good. So what I say, the Gemara suggests that when we said before the halacha was Rabbi Shimon, some are saying that she goes on this brisa, Rabbi Shimon's opinion over here. Good. Elam avin ala zadon kishogeg. Rabbi say these are the people who bring a carbon. Ultimately, again, ala zadon, for intentional activity, like a shogeg. But remember again, normally, a chatas offering is only brought for a shogeg. These individuals will bring an offering, even though they did something intentional. Who are they? Habala shifcha. A man who has relations with a shifcha. Right, there's a shifcha kinanis. The nazir shenitma, a nazir becomes tamei. Shivua sa'idos, what's a shivua sa'idos is a case where someone calls upon me to testify regarding a certain matter, and I swear that I don't know any testimony about that matter. I'm lying. I do know testimony about it. Shva sapikadon, someone deposits something with me, and then when they come to get their object back, so I say, Aloha yu dvar me'olam. I don't know what you're talking about. So I'll say, in all of these cases, halacha l'maisa, even if I intentionally transgressed, I still bring a karban. Chamisha mevi'in karban, acha echad ala veras harbe. But I'll say the following people, even they bring one karban for multiple transgressions. V'chamisha mevi'in karban ola v'yoreit. And five people bring a karban ola v'yoreit. We'll say we're going to talk about this. Karban ola v'yoreit is a karban which depends on your financial status. If you're richer, you bring a particular type of carbon. Poor, bring a different type of carbon. Elam avin carbon echad al averus harbe. Let's say these are the people who bring one carbon for many averus. Habal shivcha bios harbe. If a man has relations with a shivcha many times, v'nazir shenitma tumas harbe, and a nazir went ahead and became tamei multiple times, ultimately again halacha lemaisa, these individuals will bring one. So I'll say two chidushim. Number one, they bring a carbon for mezid, just like it was shogeg. And number two, they only bring one carbon for multiple transgressions. So let's analyze. Habalash says the Gemara. Habalash shivcha minalan. We'll say, how do I know that if a man has relations with a shivcha kinainis, that number one, even if it's bemezid, he brings a carbon, and number two, even for multiple bios, he will go ahead and bring only one carbon. The Tan Rabbanan b'chipra alav akoin be'ela asham. Al chatos b'osai. So the pasuk says that the coin will be mechaper for him. Be'ela asham lefnei Hashem al chatoso asher chato. Melamed shemevi carbon al averos harbe. B'osai. From here we see that one could bring a carbon, one offering for many different transgressions. V'nislach lo mechatoso asher chato. He will be forgiven from his sin, which he sinned. That teaches us, lasos mezid kishogeg. That teaches me that an intentional infraction is treated like a shogeg. Nazir shenitma. What about a nazir who became tamei minalon? T'chsev v'chiyamos meis alav bepesa pit om. Suppose I said, the pasuk says over here, that if the nazir encounters a dead person, literally the way we translate this pasuk is, someone dies in the presence of the nazir, bepesa pit om, suddenly. So the Gemara says, Pesa is a shogeg. Pesa means by accident. V'chinu omer im bepesa balo eva hadafo. Pit om ze ones. Right? Pit om refers, we'll say, to what? Extenuating circumstances. We'll say, in halacha, we distinguish between shogeg and ones. Shogeg, there is some level of liability. As the Gemara Maseches Makkah says, the boile lesuri, you could have been more careful. Ones, ultimately, again, is unavoidable circumstances. V'chinu omer v'yomer Hashem pisom ha-moshe. Tanya idach, pisom ze mezit. Well, see, another brisa. Listen to this. This brisa says, what's pit om? Pit om, ultimately, again, is intentionality. Mezid. V'chinu omer arum ra'a v'nistar upisayim arvu v'nasu. I v'nichtov pit om dimashma shogeg umashma mezid umashma ones. So the Bosai, so the Gemara says, well, you could have just used the word pit om, because remember again, Bosai, the pasuk itself is verbose. The pasuk says pesa pit om. So we're translating now as pesa to mean shogeg, pit om ultimately again to mean ones. The Gemara says, I'll tell you something even better. The word pit om itself can actually mean all three. So the Gemara says, Nichtov kra pit om dimashma, shogeg umashma mezid umashma ones. How do I know this? Mezid va'ones kidam. So we'll say it can mean mezid va'ones as we just saw before. Umashma nam is shogeg dichsiv, pesi yamin l'chol dover. V'lo nichtov kra pesa. And we'll say ultimately, if that's the case, the pasuk could just omit the word pesa. Everything could be learned out from pis om. Right? Whether the nazir became tame. Ones, shogig, mezid, halach l'maisi still brings the carbon. Ikas of krap his om, the mashma shogig, o mashma mezid, o mashma ones, hava amina, ki maisi carbon b'shogig, midi de hava atorah kula. See, Rabbi said, even though the word pit om, you're right, seems to be one-stop shopping, because it means mezid, shogig, and ones, nevertheless, when interpreting these halachos through the lens of karbanic law, I would have just assumed that Nazir is no different than any other form of karbanic law. And just like in other areas of karbanic law, what's talacha? When do you bring a chatas? When do you bring a karban? When? B'shogeg. I would have assumed, therefore, the default definition of pit'om is also b'shogeg, and that's when you bring a karban. There are about ones umezid emolo, but by a case of ones and mezid, I would say you don't bring a karban. Now, both said, interestingly enough, those are two polar opposite, right? Ones, I would think I don't bring a carbon because, again, this was so extenuating that there's no liability. And mezid, again, in general, mezid don't bring a carbon. Therefore, kasev rachmana pesa, de shogeku legaluye ale de pis om, de onis umezidu dafilu achi chayev rachmana. Therefore, we'll say the Torah includes the word pesa. Pesa teaches me that the nazir goes ahead and brings a carbon, even if he did it b'shogeg, and therefore halacha l'maisa. I'm sorry. Therefore, the Torah says pesa, which teaches me shogeg, which then allows me to interpret pit om as meaning ones and nesid. Beautiful. Shavuot says, so now we have that the nazir brings a carbon, whether it was b'shogeg, ones, or mesid, b'ala shifcha, brings a carbon afilu b'mesid. Next, Shavuot Sa'idos. So minolon tarabanon bekula ne'emar v'ne'elam. We'll say in general, again, all the other cases, it uses lashon of v'ne'elam. Kan lo ne'emar v'ne'elam. We'll say from here, remember again, in other situations by a carbon, v'ne'elam is a lashon of shogeg. Right? The halacha was obscured, was hidden from me. I didn't know the halacha. Here, interestingly enough, by Shua Sa'idos, it doesn't say v'ne'elam. What does that teach me? L'chayiv al ha'mezit k'shogeg. So I said, the fact that the Torah does not use Lashon of Vene'elam, that it was hidden from me by Shvuah Seidus, tells me that even if I intentionally transgressed this halacha, I still bring a karban. Next, Shvuah Sapikadun, Minalon, Yalif Techta, Mitechta, Mishvuah Seidus. Gzer Shavrum Shvuah Seidus. Beautiful. Chamisha Mevi'in Karban Echad Alaveros Harbe. So I said, there are five people who bring, or five situations where you bring one karban for many averus, says the Gemara, Katani Habo Ala Shivcha Bios Harbe Minolon. So we learned in the Mishnah that what, even if a man has repeated bios with a shivcha kinanis, he only has to bring one carbon. Minol, where do we know that from? Tan Rabbanon, V'chipar Alav Hakohen Be'ala Asham Al Chato So Asher Chato Melamed Shemedi Carbon Echad Ala Averos Harbe. So we'll say again, from this pasuk we see that Halacha Lemaisa, you could bring one carbon for many different infractions. V'nislach l'omei chata, so asher chata, from the phrase, he will be forgiven from the chet that he committed. Lasos mezid kishogeg. Ultimately, again, that teaches me that halacha l'maisa, mezid is like shogeg. I v'hakra kiksib mezid ksiv. But 1 second, that pasuk is dafka referring to a case of mezid. Ela ema lasos shogeg kemezid. Rather, say what it means is to actually make a case of shogeg like a case of mezid, to equate the two. So, boy minei Rabbi Chanina tirna mei Rabbi Yochanan. Listen to this interesting case. Haba al chamish shivchos charufos behel amechad. Say, by the way, I just wanted to mention, I should explain this, and I neglected to say this. The case that we're talking about over here, we'll say, is not just stam bia with a shivcha kinanis. It's a shivcha necharefes leish. She is a betrothed shivcha. I forgot that point. A betrothed shivcha, which means, again, who is she betrothed to? So, bepashtos, a Jewish slave, right? An Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri, who himself is married to a Jewish woman, is also permitted to be given a shivcha kinanis for procreation purposes. So this is a shivcha kinanis who is betrothed to an Eved Ivri. A Jewish man then has relations with her. It's not adultery, meaning it's not adultery, but l'maisa, it's usur. So again, the Mishnah is telling me that halacha l'maisa, you bring a karban for such an event, right, for such an act, and now we're learning whether you did it b'shogeg or b'mezid. Now the novelty over here is, even if he engaged in multiple bios with her, halacha l'maisa, he is only chayiv one karban. So now both said, the Gemara says, based on that, we have another kasha. What about the following situation? Haba'a chamesh shvachos charufos behelam echad. So let's say a man has relations with five individual shvachos, right? So he has five acts of relations, but not with one woman, with five different women, five different shvachos. Behelam echad. Say behelam echad means in one lapse. What that means is that all of this is happening. Say behelam echad means, doesn't have to mean at once, but it means in one lapse of awareness. Because remember again, if halacha l'maisi, he has bia with the shivcha necharefes, realizes that it's wrong, right? Then has bia with another shivcha, realizes that it's wrong. So those are reckoned independently. In that case, again, halacha l'maisa, you would be bringing separate karbanos for every act. This is all happening in one lapse of awareness. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Mau, chayv akal achas v'achas, is he chayv for every shivcha? O ena chayv ela achas, or maybe he's only chayv once. Amar le chayv akal achas achas. Set him, he's chayv on every single one. Umayshna mechamei shalom as b'shivcha achas, but I don't understand, why is this different than the case of the Mishnah, where there were five bios with the same shivcha, in one halam? In other words, why should five bios with one shivcha in one halam be different than five bios with five shvachos in one halam? To which the Gemara says, Amar le, in shivcha achas, shivcha in shivcha achas gufin mechulakin, hey shvachos gufin mechulakin. Let's say it's very simple. This thing just says the Gemara, right? One shivcha is one entity. Five shvachos are five entities. So you could say that a five bios with one shivcha and one helam, ultimately again is only chayiv one karban. Five independent acts committed with five different women, even if it is halacha lemaisa in one he'elam, has to be reckoned as five independent acts. Umilon the gabi shivcha gufin mechulakin. So as a hetero of the shivcha, independent women represent different independent prohibitions. So amrale lav amrit gabi arayas. We see this by arayas. V'isha lechalek al kol isha v'isha. Gavi shivcha namiksev asher yishkav es isha shichvas zera. V'ishivcha amit beis lechalek al kol shivcha v'shivcha. So we'll say just like by arayas, the Torah goes out of its way to write the word isha by each of the arayos to signal for us that halacha lemaisa each and one of these women represents a different iser. So too by shivcha, the Torah implies the lashon of shivcha, right? The Torah implies the lashon, I should say, of isha. Asher yishkav es isha shichvas zera vehi shivcha. Torah comes to differentiate between each of these women. Therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, if a man were to have five bios with five shvachos, even though it's happening in one helam, he would be chayiv five times. Nazir shnitma tumas harbe. So what's the next case? A nazir becomes tamei with many different. He defiles himself multiple times. Only chayiv once. So man tana amar Rav Chista Rav Yosi Rav Yehudihi. The amar neziras the tara mishvi hu dechayla ale. So what's it must be that Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda. And what's the case? He holds that ultimately what's it? If a nazir becomes tamei, right? The Tahara begins on day number 7, right? After the 7 days of purification, he becomes Tahara to begin day number 7. Umishkachas lan, what would be the case? Kigon shenitma b'shvi, v'chazav nitma b'shvi. But also the case would be where the Nazir is going through his purification, he becomes Tameh. He's going through his purification process. He then is on the 7th day of his purification process, and he becomes Tameh again. And then Rabbi will say this process repeats. He becomes Tahara again, becomes Tameh again on day number 7. And this process repeats itself over and over and over. The chayvan de lo yotza shas haruyi lahakir ba karbon, eno chayiv ela karbon echad. It was like we already saw in yesterday's daf. Since there was never a time where he was yet, this nazir was able to yet bring his karbon, therefore what? Any subsequent acts of tumah fall under the umbrella of the original tumah. And therefore, one karban will go ahead and take care of all of the obligations. The Rebbe, because this would reflect Rebbe, Kevon dam Rebbe, Niziras de Tara ad Shmini lo chayla ale. Because according to Rebbe, I will say, ultimately, again, the Nazir really only becomes Tahar when? On day number 8. Now watch this. Ede nitma b'shvi, b'chazav nitma b'shvi, kula tuma arichti. So we'll say, because according to Rebbe's model, where the Nazir only becomes Tameh, if he becomes redefiled, right, retamed on day number 7, then we'll say that's tuma richta. It's just one prolonged period of tuma. If the nazir became tame on the 8th day and becomes tame again on the 8th day, then what? So also remember again, we've seen already this before in yesterday's daf. When you're going through a tara process, once you leave the tara process and you now come to the point where you could technically bring the karban, if you become tame again, everyone agrees that what? That what? That is reckoned as a brand new independent state of tumah, which would require its own tara. So says the Gemara, therefore, what do you see from here? Ela shmamina, first white line, testament base, shmamina Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. It must be Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Uman Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. The sanya, v'chidesh es rosho bayomahu. You will go ahead and literally sanctify his head on that day. This is the nazir, referring to his resumption of his nazirus process after he goes in and becomes tar from his tumah. What's bayomahu? Biyom havas karbonosa. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says, Rabbi Osai, when does the tara, right? When does the tara of a nazir who was tameh, when does that tara begin? On the day he brings his karbonos. When does the nazir bring his karbonos? Rabbi Osai, on day number 8. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, biyom tagalachso. On the day when he takes his haircut. When does he take his haircut? When does he shave his head? On day number 7. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokes in Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, ultimately again about when does the tahara of the Nazir who became Tame begin? Rabbi Yossi is saying it's on day number 7. Rabbi saying it's on day number 8. The Mishnah is being set up like Rabbi Yossi. What we're saying over here is as follows. That if you have a Nazir who became Tame, underwent his Tumah process, and became tummy again on day number 7, and even if this process repeated itself over and over multiple times, how many karbanos does he bring? Only one. Even though, again, halacha lemaisa, he has reached the day of his hair cutting, which is the day ultimately again of his tara. Nevertheless, he only brings one karban for multiple acts of defiled nazirus. Beautiful Mishnah. Hamikana leishto aydi anoshim harbe. What's an interesting case? Sota. Remembering what's the process of Sota, a man suspects his wife of adultery. He warns her in the presence of two witnesses, Altisteri and Ploni, do not be alone with so-and-so. She violates the warning. She is alone with so-and-so. What happens? That triggers the Sota process, through which she has to bring a karban. When we know, right? We see that karban, that process, she drinks the waters. Ultimately, it tests whether or not she was faithful to her husband or not. In our case over here, a man warned his wife against being with multiple men. In other words, he suspected her of adultery with multiple men. And he warned her independently, right? In front of two witnesses. Don't be alone with Reuven. Don't be alone with Shimon. Don't be alone with Levi. Don't be alone with Yehuda. Yisachar, Zvulun, right? Let's run, right? He gives her all of these. Now, obviously, we know from Masechah Sota, there has to be grounds for this, right? A man doesn't have the right to just stam, go ahead and start warning his wife about things like this. In this case, for Nebuchadnezzar, he had legitimate concern. So what happens, Rabosai? And she violated all of those warnings, right? She was alone with Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda, Yisachar. She was alone with all of them. So what happens? Umitzora shenis naga. Or Mitzora, who keeps becoming afflicted with Sara'as. So what's the halacha? Hevi tziporin, v'nis naga. Or for that matter, again, ultimately, again, if they brought the bird offerings, and he became afflicted with Sara'as, lo alu lo ach yavi chataso. It doesn't work until he brings his chatos. Rebbe Yehuda Omer Ach Yavi Hashem. So we'll say, so what's happening over here? So look at Rashi. Shenis Naga Negoim Harbe Kigon She Siper Shiva V'lo Hispik L'Havi Karbanos of Ach Nisnaga V'chin Sheni V'chin Shlish. So we'll say, in the case of the Mitzora, he's counting 7 clean days. And what happens? By the time he gets to the 7th day, or before he gets to the 7th day, he becomes afflicted with Sara'as again. Now what happens, we'll say, in these cases, Hevi Tziporin, they brought their bird offerings. Now look at Rashi. Lo alulo, kasagadaitcha dahai lo alulo, masho shetarech lachsor lahavi lebesof shtei tziporin lechol nega. Now both say, now just, we're jumping over here from Sota to Tzara'as. Now just a word about the Tzara'as process. Both say, in the Tzara'as process, there are two sets of karbanos. There's a set of karbanos that are brought at the beginning of the 7 clean days, and ultimately, again, karbanos that are brought at the end. The bird offering is brought at the beginning of the 7 days. So in this case over here, you have a Mitzora who brought Tziporim at the beginning of the 7 days and then became reafflicted at the end. So we're going to discuss ultimately again what that means. So the Lashon over here is Lo Alu Ach Yavi Chataso. Sounds like the bird offerings are not good until he brings his chatas at the end of the Tzara'as process. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ach Yavi Asham. Rabbi Yehuda says they're only good until he brings his Asham. Minolan. So we'll say, let's analyze this. Minolan. Dichsev zostra saknos Torah achas lekinuyin harbe. So we'll say, so again, how do I know? Now remember, what the Mishnah is teaching me by Sota is that what? Is that halacha lemaisa, a woman could bring one Sota offering for multiple warnings. So let's say her husband warned her about being alone with multiple men. She violated all of those warnings, let's say again in a day. So how do I know that she could bring one karban for all of those Sota issues? Because the Bible says, Zos Taras HaKenos. This ultimately, again, is the Torah of Kenos. Kenos is plural. So what's that? Kenos literally means jealousies, right? Plural. Torah Achos, but we're translating it over here as of Kinui, as warning. Torah achas likinuin harbe. Right? Ultimately, again, one halacha for many warnings. So from here you see that a woman could bring one karban even if she violated multiple warnings. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Vayter mitzora shen esnagan negayim harbe." We'll say if a mitzora became afflicted with saras many times, he could bring one karban for his all of his saras. Min alam dechsev zos taras hamitzora torah achas lemitzora harbe. So we'll say, so if you have a mitzora who was continuously afflicted with saras, ultimately what he could bring one karban at the conclusion of this process for multiple saras episodes. So remember again, if he brought his bird offerings and he was afflicted with tzaras, they do not work until he brings his chatos. So we'll say, so again, just to clarify, the bird offerings are brought at the beginning of the 7 days, the chatos and the ashram are brought at the end. So the Gemara says, 1 second, va'amrit ein mevi ela karban echad, but I don't understand. You just, so we'll say, what it sounds like over here is what the Mishnah is saying is like this. If he brought his bird offerings and was then afflicted by saras again, it doesn't work. It only works once he brings his chatas and his asham. But there's a stira. You're telling me in the Mishnah, the whole point, the whole theme of the Mishnah is that one carbon works for many different things. Sounds like what you're telling me over here, that if he was re-afflicted with saras, then what happens? Halach lamaisi has to bring another bird offering. So what's going on over here? Chisrei mechshavachi katani. The Mishnah is missing a piece. Here's how you have to read it. Here we go. Hevit Siparim v'nesnaga. So, Rabbosai, here's our case. Mitzora was afflicted with saras. He then began his counting period. At the beginning of the counting period, he did what? He brought his Siporim v'nesnaga. Then he was afflicted again. Ein mevi ella karban echad. So, Rabbosai, what's talacha? He only has to bring one karban. Ulak vuye ba'anius o ba'ashirus lo mikva. So we'll say, once you bring that bird offering, you're good to go, right? You only have to bring one bird offering, so that even if he's afflicted ultimately again, by tzara'as again, sometimes during that counting period, halacha l'maisa, he need not bring another bird offering. That's the halacha. So why do we bring in chatas and asham? Oh, for a different halacha. Ulak vuye ba'anius ba'ashirus. But I both say, to establish your financial standing, if you are a ani or an ashir, lo mikva ad shiyavi chataso. That's only established when? At the time of the bringing of your chatos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad shiyavi ashamo. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's established when? At the time you bring your ashram. We'll say, what's happening over here? Look at Rashi. It's actually quite fascinating. So, lakvuye ba'anius vachi kamar, v'lo alu at ziporon likave ba'anius ba'ashirus. So listen to this. So the Gemara says as follows. What the Mishnah is teaching me is as follows. When the Mitzora begins his counting period, what does he have to do? He has to bring his bird offering. Even if he subsequently becomes Tameh again, what's Talacha? He need not bring that bird offering again. Once you bring your bird offering, you've satisfied the criteria. So why is Chatas and Asha brought in? Rabbi say, Mitzora is one of those situations where Halacha L'maisa, what you have to bring will depend on your financial status. So here's an interesting Shaila. When is financial status determined? So what the Mishnah teaches me is that Halacha L'maisa, it is not determined at the time of the bird offering. Rather, there's a machlokes. One opinion says that it's determined when you bring your chatos. Rabbi Yehuda says it's only determined when you bring your asham. That's the fundamental machlokes. Tanan hasam. Mitzora shehevi asham aveha eshir. If a mitzora brought his asham and subsequently became rich, hakol holich achar chatoso. Everything goes after the chatas. Divrei Rabbi Shimon Yehuda. In other words, we both say the chatas will be later, right? So we'll see what everything will go after the chatas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hakol Holich Achar Asham. Rabbi Yehuda says no, everything goes after the Asham. So we'll say it's a fundamental machlokas as to when we determine the wealth of the Nazir. Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yaakov Omer Hakol Holich Achar Tziporin. Everything follows after the birds. Everything follows after the birds. So we'll say, we look at his financial status by the birds. Look at Rashi, Tziporin. Gomelo tchilas taraso, shemidam atzipar mazin alav. So we'll say, ultimately, again, we go after the birds. Whatever your financial status after the birds, or at the time of the bird offering, That's locked in, and that determines the rest of your carbonic offerings. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Shloshta Mikra Echa Darshu. Rabbi said they all darshened one pasuk. What's the pasuk? Asher lo tasik yado b'tayraso. So I'll say, so the pasuk over here says, Zos toras asher negat saras, asher lo tasik yado b'tayraso. So I'll say, this is the halacha by the person who is afflicted with saras, who does not have the means b'tayraso. It's fascinating. So if you don't have the means, when you are trying to affect your tara, then you could bring a less expensive carbon. So I'll say, fundamental machlokes about what? About what? What does tayraso mean? So watch this. This is incredible. Rabbi Shimon Savar Davar HaMechapro. So Rabbi Shimon will say what? It is the item that affects the kapara. That affects kapara. We'll say, what affects kapara? When Rabbi Shimon's model, it's the chatos. Right? It's the chatos. The chatos is the closing out offering. It's what ends the offering, sacrificial order of the Metzorah. So everything is determined by your chatos offering. Rabbi Huda Savar Davar HaMechshiro. Rabbi Yehuda will say that halacha lemaisa, it's the item, it's the carbon of machshira. Machshira means what? It's what allows you to walk into the Beis HaMikdash and what allows you to eat sacrificial items. What does that? That's the asham. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer, davar hagorim lo tara. So no, it's the item that ultimately allows for the tara process to really begin. Umayin hu siporin. And I will say, what is that? That is ultimately, again, that Tziporin, those are the bird offerings. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokes, ultimately, again, when the financial status of the Metzorah is Rabbi Nabosa. Now you understand why this is incredibly important. It's actually most dramatic. It's most dramatic according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Why? Because most Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's model, let's say you were poor at the time of the Tziporin, but then became rich. Rabbi say there is an amount of time that really the most significant amount of time that elapses is between Tziporin and Chatos and Asham, or Asham and Chatos. So Rabbi say, according to Rabbi Yaakov, your financial status is locked in at the time of the birds. So even if you suffer some type of, or not suffer, even if you experience some type of dramatic financial change, everything is locked in then. So Rabbi say, Salokha Lamaisa, this is the three machlokes as to when the financial status of the Nazir is locked in. The Rambam happens to paskin that it's the time of the Asham. It's the Asham that locks in financial status of the Nazir. So we'll say, but for our purposes, halach lamais, what we learn from here is as follows. That when the Mishnah says you could bring one set of karbanos for multiple events of tzaras, what is it really referring to? Is everyone will agree that it was referring to? The Tziporim. Then halach lamais, if you brought your Tziporim, which would allow you to begin the process of taras mitzorah, even if you subsequently became Tamei multiple times after that, you don't have to re-bring the Tziporim. One set of birds per process of Tzaras. Similarly, again, the Mishnah teaches us that halacha lemaisa, if a woman was warned multiple times, multiple kno'os, but they ended, again, he warned, just to be clear on that case, he warned his wife multiple times, but he never got a chance to bring her to the Beis HaMikdash. They had a free weekend. It's Labor Day. Right, so what should we do? Let's get around to going to the Beis HaMikdash to take care of that whole Sota thing. So now we'll say, now she has 12 warnings, right, against her. Halacha lemaisa, one minchas kinos, one minchas Sota, one carbon Sota could take care of multiple warnings. Say Shkayach, we'll stop over here. The Parshavart, as well as a little El His Orus, is posted on the podcast.